Weeks ago, we started a teaching along the lines of the leading of the Spirit and how to recognize God's voice. And over the years, we teach this every year. And I'm going to let you know why we teach it that frequently. And we are taking it again now to impress it upon our hearts once more of how God speaks to us. And I said something when we started out. I said, we all recognize that God leads us. Yes, He leads me. Come on, come on. I thought I'll be loud. So He speaks to me. So I have answers from God. Good. So we already recognize that. But what a lot of believers have issues with is we talking. Sometimes we think, it is God. Then at other times, could it be my voice? Is this the devil? So we start to look at whose voice is this, right? Whose voice is this? In a bid to make it clearer in our minds when God is talking. Matthew chapter 1, like we always start with. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. And I have made this very clear. The writer starts out by saying, the book of Jesus, or the book of the Genesis of Jesus, who is the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. And one of the things that instructs us is that whatever you're going to say about Jesus now, whatever you're going to read about Jesus, is already available in what we call the Old Testament. Now, sometimes we struggle with the unification of the scriptures. And we think, is the Old Testament different from the New, like we call it? And I've told you before that there is no writer of the Bible, and there is nowhere in the Bible where Genesis was called Old Testament. There's no place where Exodus was called Old Testament. They were called the Law, the Scriptures, the Word of God, the Law of God. Old and New Testament are postmodern appellations. They are things that came after. Everybody, someone asked me a question earlier in the week that, what about the book of Enoch? I think that was on Sunday evening. I saw a book, the book of Enoch, that it says it's part of the lost books. And I told him, I said, it's part of the lost books, meaning that you'll be lost last. And I told him, I said, have you read it? He said, no. I said, you have read it. I said, how did I know? I said, if you are coming to me by now, this 2024. Said, since when did you know me? He mentioned. I said, so you are still asking me how I know? I told him, I said, if you read that book well, because you cannot be as curious as I am, or as I was. I'm not curious again. I used to be very curious. At 14, 13, 15, probably one of the most curious persons you ever know. So curious, I went to every denomination. I went to Catholic service, I went to Sele, I went to Kerubo. So I can tell you the difference between Kerubo and Sele, even though both were white. I went to every denomination. The last one we want to enter, myself and friend, when we got there, we heard sounds from afar. Was the church? I was so light. And the AC was on. So as we were close to the place, what I was thinking was, I said, we have entered places, we have come out. We might not come out of this one. He said, I was about to say it. He said, emoji jakpada. We entered everywhere. So I was quite curious. I said, so I have read the book. And then in the book, you will see that they will tell you that Enoch is the lesser Yahweh. He said, how did you know? I said, because what you are doing in 2024, I probably did it in 2009 or 2008. That's 16 years before you said you wanted to test it. I said, you will get lost. And you look at that. The same people who have not read what we call the Old Testament are looking for extra books. I'm saying this because of someone. Pay attention in this service. I'm going to speak to many people, say 8, 9. I'm not going to mention them. So you pay attention if it's for you. I'll just keep talking. And so, there's a unification of the scriptures. Is the son of David, which is the Psalm, and is the son of Abraham, which is Moses, that's Genesis. Alright, so again, whatever you are going to see about Christ, whatever you're going to learn about him is not new. Is it making sense? It is not new. Whatever you attribute to Jesus is already in the scriptures. The same truth in Genesis to Malachi is the same truth in the New Testament. It's the same truth. In Acts 2, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance in verse 4, and then people came and said they were drunken, and Peter stood up with 11 and said, who gets drunk in the night hour? And said, in the third hour rather, and said, this is that the prophet Joel spoke about. Now, I thought he would have said, this is what Jesus taught us for 40 days. But no, he skipped that and he said, no, this is what Joel prophesied about. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men, your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Upon your handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit. Okay? He goes back to Joel to confirm to you that whatever you're seeing in the new is not new. There's a unification of the scriptures that also helps our hearing God's voice. So what, even in the leading of the Spirit, even though you hear things like the Holy Ghost was given after the resurrection, which is true, but is it after the resurrection the Holy Ghost started talking? No. Bible says Jesus was led of the Spirit to the wilderness. So we can learn the leading of the Spirit pre-resurrection. Was Abraham led to go out of his own country, out of his father's land, into another land where God will show him? Yes. So, the leading of the Spirit is not new. It's not post-resurrection. So, you see Peter going back to Acts 2. In Acts 3, he did the same thing. In Acts 4, he did the same thing. Paul, when Paul was going to teach in Acts 13, where did he go to? David. Just like Peter in Acts 2. He said, we know of the patriarch David, who sepulchized with us. So again, you cannot just wash away Genesis, but like I said, it's Old Testament. I want to just be reading Matthew to Revelation. Again, what you'll be reading will be, how do I call it now? To be basic. It won't be full. It's called the Holy Bible. It's 66 books together. It's the Holy Bible. It's 66 books together. Hallelujah. Alright, so we are looking at how to recognize the voice of God. And one of the things that led me to starting that way is someone said that the leading of the Spirit is what we enjoy today, that in the Old Testament they were not led by the Spirit and all of that. I said, no, if I'm even going to teach the leading of the Spirit of God and how God speaks to people, that I will start from Genesis. I think we have more remarkable examples than what you even call the epistles. And he said, no, but I don't believe that God still leads us that way. I said, God still leads us that way. You know, there are things that our postmodern hermeneutics, our postmodern explanation of the scriptures, there are things that it has limited our charismatic abilities. You see, you hear people saying, how can God, are you sure that it was God that showed up in the temple and the priest could not stand? So, when you say, yes, it's God, and they say, why don't we see it today? Why would you see what you don't believe in? You can't see it because you don't even believe it in the first place. The same God that led out Gideon to war, the same God that led out Samson, the same God that anointed Samuel, David, is still the same God, still the same Spirit of God, still the same experiences if you will be open to it. So, we think, oh, the leading of God for Abraham is quite different from what God is doing today. No, it's just our own, just inward witness. Inward witness. Inward witness. Now, God leads us by the inward witness. He confirms, refutes, endorses, whatever you expose to it, but he leads us in more ways than the inward witness. Amen? And we are open to revival. We are open to charismatic renewers. Amen? Of the Spirit of God, where we are led. Absolutely. Amen? So, God still leads us. You see in Psalm 1 verse 1, they said, this is the man who does not walk in the way of sinners, who delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, right? He shall be like what? A tree? Huh? Uh-huh. He brings forth his fruit in due season. Again, he's showing you that the word of God can put a man right if he does not sit in the seat of the scornful, not stand the way of sinners. God's word can put a man right. He says, your word is a light on my feet, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Again, that your word, is it New Testament or the prophet? Your word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Is it Paul that wrote it? So that same word can give direction. So how can you say the leading of the Spirit is not with the prophet? It's a light unto my path. Your word, your law. So God's law is still a light to our path. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, remember Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night. So you may be careful to observe what is written therein. Then will your ways be prosperous and you have good success. So the recipe for direction, the recipe for getting God's kind of result is with the prophets. So you cannot in the big teach of to teaching the leading of the Spirit and how to recognize God's voice neglect Genesis to my life. I don't get where I'm coming from tonight. Good. Look at Deuteronomy 4. We were there last week. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great? Who are God so near to them? As the Lord our God in all the things where we call on him for. Look at that. Moses is telling Israel, you have God near to you. What nation is there so great? Who has God near to them? And so we started looking at God's leading. And I remember last week, if I'm not mistaken, we looked at Acts 17. I don't remember. Where Paul mentioned that he is near every one of us. All right, let's go back there. Acts 17. You know, in Philippians 3, Paul says, to repeat the same things, it's not grievous for me. It's beneficial to you. Acts 17. Again, we are looking at how to recognize that this is God. Acts 17, verse 23. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. Acts 17, 23. I found an altar with inscription to the unknown God, whom you ignorantly worship. I declare him to you, God that made the world and all the things therein. Seeing that is the law of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing that he gives all life, breath, and all things. Can we read verse 26 and 27 together? And he made one blood of all nations of men to dwell upon all the face of the earth. And as determining the times and the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27, very important. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us. So Paul says, God is not far from every one of us. He didn't say from believers. And that's where we started from last week, AB. That he's not just believers. God is not far from every one of us. The day you realize that he is in touchable distance, he is in reachable distance, he is in feelable distance, then you will now realize that then God speaking to you is not a myth. He's not far from every one of us. We learned that word last week, Makran. Remember? He is as close as your skin. He is as close as your skin. So, God speaks to everyone. He's not far from every one of us. He's not far from every one of us. So, that is already established. And we began to look at Genesis 3. The Genesis of where we saw the voice of God. God already told Adam, do not eat in chapter 2 of every tree that is in the garden, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of every tree that is in the garden, but of this tree, you will not eat. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Bible says the serpent came, so that means Adam already heard God's voice. Alright, good. Was this it? Was this it when he heard? Was Adam saved? If Adam was saved, then what was the example? Who was the two posts in Romans 5? The two posts of disobedience. By one man's sin, death was. So who sinned? Me. Is it not Adam? So you remember Romans 5 gave us an example. Two kinds of men gave us that Adam's sin created a pattern of disobedience. Men can now reject God. Then Jesus' obedience now shows us that a man can live in the will of God. And he will receive righteousness, right? Alright, good. So, when Adam heard God's voice, was Adam saved? Has he eaten of the tree of life? No. And so it shows you that it's not just believers that God speaks to. not just believers. Who spoke to the wise men that came from the east when Jesus was born? God. Told them, do not go back to Herod. You have seen the boy. Don't go back to Herod. Were they saved? We will never know. Very likely not. Because the scriptures actually says they are idol worshippers. So, God speaks to everyone. He is not far from every one of us. Then the serpent came and started out the way God started. As God said, you will not truly eat of every tree that is in the garden. And Eve said, of course, Eve is Adam. Adam is Eve. Don't forget, Eve was taken from Adam. So don't see that guy. It's a spiritual account. I've taught this before over and over again. And the serpent came to Eve and said, as God truly said, you will not eat of every tree in the garden. I said, no, even more than that, we should not touch it. There are brethren that exaggerate instructions. It's a fast you fall. So even said that, even when you are breaking, you must never take water. That's a serious fast. That's why I said four now. Remember, that's why I said four. I didn't say you should not take water. He said we should not touch it. And the devil said, oh, wow. Well, I'm not the one that will expose it to you. I'm not the one that, I see what God is doing. I see what he's doing. One more time. He has done it before. Actually, what he's trying to say is that, don't worry. And you say, no, tell me. If someone tells you don't worry, don't worry. Amen. Aproko will not finish you. Say amen. Don't worry. Say, tell me now. Say, I tell you what God is trying to say. Okay. Between me and you, our little secret. He knows that the day you eat of it, you'll be like Elohim. Your eyes open. I've told you, not every open eyes is from God. Not every eyes of revelation is from God. Your eyes will just be open, just start. You will know some things. The Bible says, and then Eve saw that the tree was good for food. Immediately. Appetite changed. Perception changed. And she took it and gave it to her husband who was with her. Genesis 3, that's where we are now. Verse 8. And the voice of the Lord God was walking in the midst of the garden. Genesis 3, 8. Learn something? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden. Now, the word voice, we looked at that last week, right? Q-O-L, call, remember? Which is sound. Human sound. The way you hear a man talking, the way you're listening to me now. They heard the voice of God. But it says it is walking. It's walking in the garden. It's walking in his garden. The voice of the Lord God is walking. The word walk there is alak. It's used for where you dwell. Where you dwell. Where you stay. So, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst of the garden. They heard the sound. So, the leading of the Spirit is not sign language. It is the voice of the Lord walking. That means it is interactive. It is interactive. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the midst of the garden. It is interactive. It is relational. It's something you can relate to. Right? We have said that, Abby. We said that, was it last 2 weeks or last week? 2 weeks, yeah. But where I want to focus on is, God was walking in the garden. In the garden. Now, the garden of God, if you go to the foreground, which is the New Testament, what will be where God dwells? Where does God dwell? In his don't let us go to the New Testament yet. In quotes. Let's go to Moses. Where does God dwell? In his tabernacle? Right? So let's go to Ezekiel. Where does God dwell? In his temple? Right? Come on. That would be Solomon, Ezekiel. Right? Let's now go to the four Gospels. Where does God dwell? God dwell. Where 2 or 3 are gathered? Huh? Okay. Let's go to the Epistles. Where does God dwell? In, I say it now. Oshodi. Huh? In the one who has believed. Abi? 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, alright? Good. So, the Eden of God is his dwelling place. So it says, they heard the voice of God walking. And that's why the writer will use the word alak. Almost like, I'm saying, in my estate, in my apartment. So, the voice of God is found in the garden of God. The voice of God, God speaks in his garden. So, they heard the voice of God walking. So, that's how you know it's human. They heard the voice of God walking in the midst of the garden. So God speaks in his house. Say, God speaks to me. Because he lives in me. Oh, I'm his tabernacle. I'm God's temple. Oh, say that like you mean it. I'm God's temple. He speaks to me. You know, there are people that only speak at home. You say, he doesn't talk, but when they get home, they speak. So God speaks in his house. God speaks in his house, in his Eden. He's at home with us. Now, we need to repeat this over and over again. No, now, it's not like you don't know it. If they ask you, who is the temple of God? You are going to say it yourself, of course. I mean, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Huh? He dwells in me. But sometimes you need to repeat it over and over again. You need to make it the dominant information in your mind. There are things you know, but it's not dominant in your mind. Have you heard people say something like, now, if you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Or you have people you lead. Or you have friends who you talk about the things of God together. So they come to you and say, the Bible says this, but in the same sentence, in the same breath, I know the Bible says, but I was thinking. So it's not about that you don't know what the Bible says. It's just about, it's not a dominant information. It's not what dominates your decisions. I've seen people who preach, they know the Greek words, all the Greek words, all the Hebrew words, even have some Christian Bible. Original Greek, original Hebrew, original Aramaic. And then you see a decision. I remember there was a sister like that some years ago. Not in this church. There was a decision and they said, how did you, why are you not thinking about it? Now there's a way I can talk to people who I expect some things from. I said, why are you not thinking about it? I didn't know what I was thinking. So, it's not about not knowing. It's about not being the dominant information. See how many times Paul kept telling the church in Corinth. Don't you know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? He said in chapter 3, he said in chapter 6. When it came to 2 Corinthians again, he still said it. Because what you think people know, they don't know. They know it head knowledge. They know it mental assent. How many of you have caught yourself before? You've caught yourself doing something or saying something, and then you say, "How about Mujibai? How did I do? Why would I say that? Dominant information." I was talking to them with one of my friends. He's a pastor in Lagos. Yeah, and I said, "Why? People, how many hours do we spend in church? On Sunday, you spend average churches 2 hours. Yeah, Glorious House Church. I don't know how many. Don't remind me. Oh yeah, max 3 in service. So the one you are doing after service, I'm not the one that sent you." Max 3, 8:30 to 11:30. But 9 to about 11:30, 12. Amen? Get used to it. On midweek service day, you spend about 2 hours, 30 minutes. Yeah? Now, calculate how many hours you have left in the week. Put a proportion to it and ask yourself, the number of hours we spend around the things of God or around hearing teaching, if you don't have tapes and all of that, is it enough to be the dominant information in my mind? So I said, the job of the man of God will now be to keep saying the same things. To keep saying the same things. A pastor, a discipler can never get tired of saying the same things. Martin Luther King said, every week I teach my people justification by faith. He said, why? Because every week they forget. What do you think people know? What do you think they have an idea of? They don't. So you keep telling yourself, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm the temple of God. God speaks here. God talks here. God talks here. God talks here. He speaks in his temple. He speaks in his temple. I recognize his voice. I can hear it every time. Every day. Every day. God's voice is not far from me. God's voice is not far from me. God's leading is not far from me. His impressions are close to me. You keep reminding yourself. Because sometimes the devil will make you feel, come on, why not just call pastor? Why not just call pastor? Now, there is no harm in calling your pastor, but the job of the pastor is to teach you that God can talk to you too. If everybody has to call the pastor for every decision and everything, you're going to call me in the morning. Pastor, later in the day, I'm about to, should I go to the in my street, there's a path on the left, there's a path on the right. Which one should I go to? My line will be blocked. Amen. But God speaks to you. I'm talking to someone. God speaks to you. Expressly. So, sometimes you've got to remind yourself. You've got to remind yourself. The voice of the Lord is always walking in his garden. The voice of the Lord is always walking in his temple. The voice of the Lord is always in his tabernacle. The voice of the Lord is here. He speaks to me. Remind yourself. Amen. Come on, amen. So you keep it in your mind. This is the temple of God and God speaks here. That must be the dominant information. That we have access to his voice. You must set that in your mind. God speaks. He speaks. He speaks in his house. He speaks among his children. I told you last week. I said, God doesn't speak because you pray. No. God does not speak because you listen to teaching. No. God speaks every time. Even to those who are not born of his spirit. So, how do I now recognize and say, this is God talking to me. This is not me. This is not my imagination. This is not my thoughts. I know that's like the major stuff. You know, especially when people want to get married. Ooh! I've been around that a lot. You know, I started pastoring like 2 days ago. But Glorious House Church, I started pastoring Glorious House Church 7 years now. Amen. Amen. And that's the beautiful thing to say. But we're not there yet. Hallelujah. But personally, I said pastor like 2 days ago. And I've seen that a lot of people is when marriage, you know that number one, there's a societal stigma in Africa where once a person gets married, if you like prison sentence, you know, you just want to, everything must look fine. So even if they are fighting at home, they wear anko. And it's even rain now. So, couple goals. So, because you know that that's the zone that we are in Africa, especially. Everybody wants to get it right. So, you start taking pictures. I have an engineer, a lawyer, a banker, and a pastor. I know he's not the pastor. Prophet, I know he's not the pastor. Let me pray about the engineer, especially the engineer and the lawyer. That banker, they can sack him anytime. Let me pray. So you take pictures. Suddenly you don't trust that God can talk to you because you have never exercised it. You have never actually sat down to hear God speak to you. So when marriage comes, everybody now turns a prophet. Then God speaks to you again. You say, I hope it's not my spec that's talking. You know the spec. I was talking to my receptionist at work today. He said she has spec. I said, so tell me your spec. Amen. Tell me your spec. I know sisters have spec, amen. There was silence in the sanctuary. Amen. If you don't say amen, you will not receive your spec. Amen. It's louder. So this spec. As God say, is Bromayowa. Is there Bromayowa here? Okay. Is Bromayowa. Could they bad do? Yeah. As you say, could they bad do it? Suddenly you say, hope it's not because it's my spec. Hope I'm not walking in the flesh. Because we have not practiced, and that's why we are teaching this, how to know that this is God. So we said the first thing about the voice of God, we already said it is relational. In Acts 22, learn something. So, firstly, we have concluded that God speaks in his house. Right? He doesn't just even speak to believers. He actually speaks to everybody. He's close to everyone. But much more, he speaks in his house. So if God is going to stay mute, and he's going to stay quiet, not in his house, not in his tabernacle, not in his temple. In his temple, everyone shouts glory. In his temple, he speaks. Right? So we settled that. That means the believer has access to God's voice. Every time. You must walk your ear like that. I have access to God's voice. I have access to God's voice. The voice of the stranger I will not follow. I recognize the voice of the good shepherd. I recognize his voice. When he speaks, I hear. When he speaks, I hear. I can hear the voice of God. I can hear the voice of God. Amen? Then we said, now that you've settled that in your mind, how do I now know that this is God? We said, in Acts 22 verse 1, men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense, which I make now to you. This is Paul talking. And when they heard him speak in the Hebrew tongue to them. Now, why did they say, hear him speak in the Hebrew tongue? In Acts 26, Verse 14. And when we were all falling to the earth. Now, this is Paul reiterating the experience that happened to him in Acts 9. In Acts 9, Luke just writes to us that there was a light from heaven, right? And everybody fell, right? And they just heard Paul talking. They didn't know who he was talking to. He just said, "Who are you, sir?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, who you persecute." And he said, I didn't persecute anybody. He said, "When you kill the church, you're killing me." And Jesus gave him instructions, right? So that was what happened in Acts 9. That's what Luke wrote. But when he got to Acts 26, there's a way you say something over and over again that comes with more information. In Acts 26, he says, that day when we were going, in verse 14, are you there? And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So it gives us an extra bit of information. God spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. In the Hebrew tongue. So we said, God will speak to you in a language you understand. Let's start with that one. In a language you can converse in. In a language that is relational. Now, God is not going to speak to me in French. I don't understand French. Anything that passed, bonjour, hotiton, applaudissez, au revoir. Sorry, itoba ti koja ye, leading this on. Amen. God is not going to speak to me in Spanish. Now, there was a time I was learning Spanish. I even organized a program in Spanish. I don't know if you remember. El Rey Viene. Agbol Mole. The king has come. You remember? 2010. I was learning Spanish so much, I organized a meeting. It was a big meeting, though. I think we had attendance of, what's about 600? El Rey Viene. That was the title. Kilo Wey, Kilo Limi. Will I preach in Spanish? Do you know the program? I don't have a witness here. I'll look for it on Facebook and share it. El Rey Viene. That was the title. I'll share it tonight. Because it's on Facebook. It will be on Facebook. I think God can't do Facebook. No, no. Spanish. But if God decides to speak to me, that's Spanish that I wrote now. Because El Rey Viene said, "Alo, kosi Google." He now gave us translation. It's not like I need it. I was just saying that the program would be too boring because the king has come. It would be too light. Let's give people mystery. That's the way of doing mystery. Something I cannot solve. Any master of any area of anyway. But imagine God speaking to me, every Vienna Meleski Falada. I say, my God, why are you forsaking me? You could say you don't want to talk to me. God speaks in a language you can converse in. I'm not telling someone, I said, you say words like Marfo, like, I said, don't be surprised if God talks to you like that too. Or you think God cannot tell you, Bira Didi, Bira, I'm alone, Bira, Marfo, Moabelue. He looks loud, he looks raz, or it sounds raz. But that's how you talk. That's how you talk. I have a friend like that. That's how he talks. What man, oh? You know, what man? The way you have gone to Aladura so much. You know, emoji. I'm at Babu Gwan Souls here. You know, about Jesus, Jare, you want Binti. You know, I said, God can talk to you and say, man, worry. But you know, I'm Binti, I'm curious here now. God can talk like that because you talk like that. The issue with a lot of people is that they expect that God talks in KJV. That thou shalt go it and turn it to the right it. My spirit dwell on thou. Does your father talk like that? In the natural, your dad, your papa, your mom. Will your mom call you and say, "My daughter, my daughter, my daughter, as I speak to you, you eat." If your mom talks like that, is this mom or AI? Nobody talks like that. Not God too. God talks in your everyday language. Paul says, I heard them talk to me in an Hebrew tongue. Something I can converse in. So I went to Acts 22 to show you that he converses in an Hebrew tongue. Is it making sense? That's why I went to Acts 22. He wanted to defend. When you want to defend something, you go with your best language. Where you know you cannot make mistakes, where you know that you have control and master of your syntax and your vocabulary. Does it make sense? Paul was talking in an Hebrew tongue to defend himself. Jesus spoke to him in an Hebrew tongue. So, God's voice is relational. It's something close. It's near. We saw that Daniel, in Daniel chapter 8, remember last week? Daniel 8. Isn't this the beauty of the book of the seed of David, the seed of Abraham? Daniel 8. Remember what Daniel is? Daniel is after Ezekiel. Stop opening Exodus side. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now, Gabriel is an angel. So, Daniel is in a vision. He says, he had a vision. And he heard a man's voice. He does not know the man. He said, I heard a man's voice in the back of Ulai. That is saying, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So, how does God sound? Like a man's voice. They heard this voice walking in the midst of the garden. Something you hear every day. Something you're used to. Something you're accustomed to. God does not sound strange. God sounds like this. And that's more of the reason why a lot of people miss out on it. Because it's too common. A lot of people think the way God is going to sound is that you are going to hear thunder first. Then you know, Omo is God, the king of the earth. No, probably that's the devil. Because God talks every time, it's going to be something you're already accustomed to. God talks to a friend. True a friend. God talks through your pastor. Oftentimes through those who he has put over you. Don't forget in the book of Revelations, when Jesus was going to talk to the seven churches, he didn't write to everybody in those churches. He didn't show them visions. That was to the angel of the church in Laodicea. That's to the pastor, the angelos. That's the word. The messenger I have put in Laodicea, I write. This thing saith he, who is the first and the last. God is going to say some things to your pastor that he's not going to tell you, and it's about you. And there's nothing you want to do about it. Because that's the way he talks. In familiar, relational voices. So sometimes we think, oh, it's got to be a strange voice. No, it's got to be a near voice. God was talking, he called out to Samuel, and Samuel went to Eli. Because whose voice did he hear? Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Second time, Samuel! He went to Eli, said, Papa. I said, who's your papa? I don't call you. I'm here reading this paper. Dollar to you want? He said, no, that's not what you're saying. You are talking about the kingdom of Israel. You're talking about the kingship. You're talking about the kingdom, the throne of David. Eli said, me, throne of David. I beg you, next time you hear the voice, I already know what's happening. Next time you hear the voice, say, your servant listens. Speak, Lord. So, God was talking to Samuel, but Samuel was hearing Eli because God uses familiar voices. Is it making sense? I've heard people say they heard my voice in their sleep or they heard in their dream. Someone was telling me, that's last week. Last week Friday, he said he was driving and he heard my voice. Like a Google map. He was driving and he just heard my voice. And the voice told him to go and visit someone. Apparently the person was sick and he never knew. An old friend was sick and he never knew. He said, he just heard my voice. He's not even our church member. He just heard my voice. He said, he just took the next turn. He had to go back again. Familiar voices. And that's why oftentimes they are easy to reject. Except if you're a pastor, then you have blame. You should have a duty act if you are rejecting that one easily. Amen. You hear my voice with the rejected, man. On yourself. Amen. But sometimes your voice, the voice of your mom, because she connects me too much. My mom has passed on for how many years now? 13? Going to 14 now. And I still hear the voice. I'm not delusional. I don't hear it every day. But there are instructions I hear. In Yoruba, I see it clearly. Because God is still using it to talk. Hallelujah. If when God told me something, I said with leaders some time ago, I said, okay, then bad, it was in my mom's voice. I heard it in Yoruba, number one, relational language. I can converse in Yoruba throughout the day. I don't have an issue with it, like some of you. Some of you cannot speak your local dialect. English, Yoruba, anything. English, if you don't even know it, the one that you are claiming that is now that's your language. Oh, but you still drop bomb. No wonder the Spirit of God is talking to you. You say bomb can come out. Why did you not went to your disciples' place? Lord my God, I went it. You are the inward witness. Because you tabon. Amen. I'm serious. I'm not joking. See, God knows what things. And God told me, in our voice, clearly, that there are things that the believers neglect. And we just put it under the umbrella of maybe God is racist. No, I'll get them. My mom has never said that to me before, but I heard it in her voice. Amen. And so God uses a language you can converse in and you can respond to. And also, and that's why I love you, hear God in English. Amen. Amen. Because that's the only thing you can talk in. How many of you have heard God in another language before? Apart from English. Who's your answer? Oh, it's beautiful. Good. Pigeon. So, Paul, as you understand, Paul, Samuel, Daniel, it's a man's voice. It's a man's voice. So, we said it is relatable and it is close. It is relatable and it is close. Because God is near. It's in touchable distance. So, you keep it simple. Keep it simple. I also said something last week. That sometimes we think that because it's the leading of God's Spirit, it's got to come with a lot of details. You understand what I'm saying? That it has to be detailed. And that's where there's an heresy of where people think, I can call phone numbers and say, there's someone here, 081. Because we feel when God is talking, it's with a lot of details. Not every time. Not every time. The issue when you make something so rigid is that you give room for the devil to act. So the moment you say, God, when he's talking, comes with details every time. I remember there was a brother like that, said that the sister he's going to marry, that God has shown him that the sister, he will meet her on the 7th of July. July is the 7th month. On the 7th of July, by 7 p.m. in the 7th Avenue, Bele, 7 up. Maybe drinking 7 up. Mission 7777. Eventually, he actually met that person on the 7777. And they broke up. Maybe I'm the one that caused it too. I will not tell you that one. But they broke up. 7-7 or broke up. You see God again. I thought all his word come to pass. God does not talk like that. So it's not every time God gives the details. I told you last week, I said, Jacob was talking to God every day. And God did not tell Jacob that Joseph was alive. Not once. Not an inch. That your son. Okay, I'll not talk. Jacob not say. No, you've got it. You've not even asking of Joseph for these years. Jacob said, omniscient. You know, some of you, God just give you information like that. I just want to say something. You have finished prayer now. Just something for your day. J-O-S-E. See, God. You just Morio. P. Joseph Guardiola. No. H. Joseph. God, what's Joseph? Where is he? And God said, don't worry. The details are with me. You now use fasting and prayer to kill God. You know, I'm going to use fasting and prayer to kill God. Today, Jesus, whatever will happen, we need jail. I remember someone told me about that I was not going to eat and everything till I lay hands on him. I said, okay. I've told you I will not lay hands on you. So let's start. You know, sometimes you just tell someone, first to break is a fool. I will not break. I will not lay hands on you. My own is easy. My own is I will not lay hands on you. You are the one that will not eat. I've not laid the hands today. I'm sure you are eating because he's still alive. Hallelujah. Don't let me lay hands on you for ministry. Now there's nothing wrong with that. But I am not led to lay hands on you. Why do you want to force my hand? Not to lay hands on anybody. Not yet. Amen. God did not tell Jacob that Joseph was alive. Even as he was going to Egypt. You know, God will just give it. Int. Jacob, my servant. You know, they used to call me by your name. God of Abraham, Isaac, and you. But yeah, let me just tell you something. As thou goest, thou findest your Joseph. Same thing. God did not show Joseph a prison. showed him 11 stars bowing, the sun and the moon bowing. He didn't tell him about Potiphar. He found that out. Was Potiphar involved in the 11 stars bowing? Yes. Because eventually, he had to go to Potiphar's house for him to land in prison, for him to go to the palace. And it's in the palace that 11 stars bow to him. All his brothers. Right? But did God give him all the details? If God gave him details, that his brothers were going to sell him, and you think he will still be in the house before prayer chain? Why men slept? Fence. If by mistake they see him. And Reuben said, Reuben, and Joseph, come over here. Little boy, where are you going? He said, I'm on the shiny. You think God has not exposed you? And meanwhile, by knowing that details, by running away, he's running away from the dream. So sometimes God gives you the larger picture without the details. So it's not every time that when God is talking, he gives all the details. In fact, when Jesus was 12, the Bible says he went to the temple asking and receiving answers. Meaning, there were things his parents did not tell him. There were things he didn't know about himself. You know, imagine the young child that was watching the movie, The Young Messiah. You can go watch it. Very, very beautiful movie. Just gives you an inkling to the life of Jesus as a younger person. So I say, thank you for the recommendation. I've watched Lion of Tribe of Judah. He says, I just like watching scripture movies now. Lion of Tribe of Judah, Breath of Life. Scriptures. Brewer is not laughing. So I know that you have watched it. You cannot convince me otherwise. Amen. So I was almost like to the life of Jesus as a young person. He had asked questions. They made him the Bible is extra biblical, amen. There was a dead bird when he was younger. So he just touched the dead bird and said, oh, I wish he could live. And the dead bird started flying. A boy died. You know, and then he healed his uncle. And he was asking the father, Am I strange? And the father was saying, how do we tell God? How do we tell the Son of God about his father? He was asking Mary. No, just conversations like that. No, he's not asking me. How do we tell God that this is you? Something like that. Beautiful movie. Calm down. Suddenly stop me. And so he was asking and receiving questions, meaning that not every time God gives us all of the information. Not every time. Did Jesus know from the start that Judas was the one that would betray? No. Very unlikely. Of course, later found out. But he chose Judas after praying. You've not thought about that. He went to pray. Imagine you just finished your treat and Judas is your next disciple. That's it. So, again, it's not every time you come with the bad information. Oh, God has told me everything that will happen. No, not sometimes. Sometimes it's a step at a time. Sometimes it just shows you the end picture. And then you just leave it in obedience every day. And you end up where it said you end up. Sometimes the leading of God is foresight. Sometimes it's hindsight. Now, let me give you hindsight. Hindsight means that when everything has happened, you now say, God was leading me. I remember some years ago, I had opportunities to live outside the country. Everything was already settled. And I found myself back in Nigeria. Somehow. Now, at that point, everything looked mysterious. Everything looked, quote, you hear me, and all of that. But I kept doing what I was doing. I kept praying. I kept listening for God's voice. I kept teaching. I kept preaching. I kept doing everything I was doing. Now I can look back. I remember when God told me to come to Lagos. I had nobody in Lagos. I had nobody. But the first day I came to Lagos, don't try this at all. I just came to Lagos. I didn't have anywhere I would sleep. And then, as we were getting to about 5 p.m., I already arrived in Lagos around 1. I just stayed at the car park at Bega. You know, with your load. If anybody asked me, I would have said, God asked me to come and preach here. Yeah, where will you sleep? Yeah, stop preaching now. God asked me to come and preach. That was it. Now, I used school.
I'm on a venue because I need somewhere to sleep. So I used school. So I said, schooling. Now I have hostel. I can go and preach. I need preaching. I know that I have somewhere to rest my head. But at that point, there was nothing. And, you know, God told me, go to Facebook. I went to Facebook. Search for so. He stays in beggar. So I started searching. And I sent him a message. He was online. I said, I'm in beggar now. Can I stay in your place over the night? He said, senior, you can stay for as long as you want. Of course, I didn't stay more than 1 week. I don't like the place. So I told God, you got to make another place now. This place, we are lining up to have our bath. I was not used to that. But that night, it saved me. After I slept on that bridge. There was no bridge in Mega. So I would have slept where? I don't know. But that night, I had so much to sleep. It gave me the entire bed. Like he was me expecting me. He bought four already. He said he bought four. He took two. He said, take the two. And I just felt like I need more today. That he's very hungry. That, nah. I said, God did not tell me all these things. In the leading, he did not give you as cooked. It might not be supernatural. But he bought it. Details. That night, I told God, I said, this week we must find another place. I want to get another place. Number one, somewhere that's closer to school. Number two, somewhere more comfortable. That week, I found another place. Oshodi. God was just progressing it. Oshodi. That one who gave me bed. Hallelujah. I'm still grateful to both of them till today. That one gave me bed. In fact, the parents were at home. This one was, there was no parents. The first one was no parents. The parents were at home. They said, they didn't know me. They never even spoke to my father once. They just believed. That's good though. He was even giving me transport to Unilag. The father. I probably saw him once and I stayed there for about a month or 2 months. Once. But I see money on the table every morning. With letter that you just drop money. Transport money. So God did not give me all those details. But he gave me the final. You will preach in Lagos. And so whatever happened along the way. No matter what you used to try to convince me, there was a time we attended one conference. They said, those work study abroad, those want to register. I said, I know why I'm here. I have the end picture. I might not have all the details. I remember the year that God made me meet Prosola. Supernaturally, I had an exam on the Monday. I traveled to Ibadan from Lagos on Saturday. I had an exam on Monday. And med school, you know what the exam looks like. I said, okay. You know what? And he gave me precisely where I would be under the tree, you remember? And God told him too. He was going to meet me. Amen. So you see why sometimes I smack him. Hallelujah. Details. Sometimes are present, sometimes are not. So don't be a detail looker. Don't be looking for details. Some people say, until everything is clear. No. Calm. Do you have the leading of the Spirit? First thing is to know that he speaks to you. He speaks to you in a conversatory manner. We call it a dialectos, Abi, in an Hebrew tongue. Dialectos instead of glossa, right? There are two words for tongue. Glossa, dialectos. Glossa is, I'm just talking. You don't have to communicate back to me. You don't have to say anything. For example, you see an arrow. This is garage. You don't have to go to the arrow and say, thank you, you told me garage. You'll be stupid, right? You look stupid to everybody and say, you see Ibadan, straight, Lagos Island, turn to the right. You know that place in Lagos, have you? Someone say that's go out or go home. Go out, this Lagos Island. Go home is Ibadan. To us that came from Ibadan. go home or go out. I choose go home. You know? So you see that sign, but then you now park. You say, Esheo. No, now. It's communicating. That's a glossa. Right? He's saying something to you, but you don't need to respond. But when you say, he spoke to me in an Hebrew tongue, that is conversational. A dialectos. D-I-A-L-E-K-T-O-S. Something that is expecting a response. So, for every time God speaks to you, there ought to be a response. There's a response he expects of you. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes just, I'm going. Thank you, Jesus. I'm led by your spirit and so I obey. No. So, we said, he speaks, that's the first thing. Why? Because he speaks in his garden. He speaks in his temple, in his tabernacle. And number two, he speaks in a relational, conversatory voice, a familiar voice. He's not as far as you think. He's not as distant as you think. He says he's near to us. He's near to us. He's near to us. He's near to us. So that's number two. We said it might or might not involve all the details. It might or might not involve all the details. There are things in glorious house church that we do now, but it's hindsight that we say, okay, God was the one leading us. Sometimes just every day, just following his plan. It might not involve all the details. It might not involve all the details. When God asked us to start a church, I boldly told someone, I said, I am not going to start anything. I said, I'm not interested. I won't. In the name of Jesus. One Holy Ghost meeting, seven people. you know what it means for seven people? People were in their groups and they were leaving their groups to come to me. I said, Jesus, am I that disobedient? To cap it up. When we're done, the pastor just called me. Why is your head? Why are you doing Oriko Kumbi Jonah? What was God telling you? I said, nothing, no. Because I mean, I don't want to do anything. I said, nothing. Now, I knew why I was in Lagos, remember? From the start. But I just wanted to delay it. I wanted to delay it. I was probably like 38, 40. Maybe you don't have met me. I'll probably meet your children. You know? 38, 40. That was my plan. Holy Ghost meeting. One Holy Ghost meeting. We were in groups. Groups of 5-5. Everybody in the group was told me the same thing. Let's start with that. So you know how God was so serious with it. And because I was not listening, you will listen in Jesus' name. But I was not that disobedient. In that meeting, I just changed my mind. I was not listening. Someone came from the group, Pastor Stella. I cannot forget. She pastors in Delta. And he came again. He said, Emoji. I don't know Emoji. I'm not Emoji. Why don't you hear me? He said, I'm a man of God. God is telling me something. Let him tell you anything now. Seven. I've shared the story with you guys before. Seven. After the service, I was going to greet the pastor. Abi, Shadrach, I'm in church. At the party, let me go home. Pastor said, come. Why are you not listening? That was the first time we probably had a conversation. Why are you not listening? I said, it's time to listen. True. You know, so I said, okay, God. You don't catch me. Not this year, sir. Not this year. Relational, familiar, conversatory voices. Is that clear? With the details or not? Number three, it becomes clearer when you know that God's voice is about his purpose. Let me say this again. 98% of God's leading is about his own purpose. Call that anything you want. That is how he leads. If God is talking to you about a location, it's about his purpose. If God is talking to you about a spouse, it's primarily about his purpose. Amen. So, as natural as those details might be, or they might look, first you recognize that when God leads, it's about his plans and his purpose on the earth. So, if he leads me to a location, he wants to fulfill his plan. It's not about me. It's about him. So the moment you quickly realize that, he puts you in a very good space to know that this is God talking. Why? I see his purpose. Is it making sense? So one of the litmus for knowing the word of God is look out for God's plan there. So he asks you to change location. You were staying at Mushi, then he asks you to go to whatever. Someone was expecting me to say something. I'm not going to say anything. He has to go to anywhere else. Look for his purpose. He said, okay. This is why he moved me here. To preach more. To be able to disciple more. Lord, I'm available. Hallelujah. It's about his purpose. Number four. Is it number four now or number three? Yeah, I'm just giving you. I don't have numbers in my notes. Yeah? Four. In the leading of God's Spirit, in the recognizing of God's voice, the word of God and the spirit of God will agree. This is often the most important one you should be on the lookout for. The word of God and the spirit of God will agree. Because sometimes we just want to use Agbari. No Agbari. Agbari, what is Agbari? Agbari is not a Greek word. Agbari means... another word is on my scope. But scope is not the right word. Not logic. Agbari past logical. You know, Agbari is corny. Craftiness. What do you call it? Craftiness is very busy to me. What do you call it? Bravery. Agbari is craftiness. Jacob things. You know Jacob? Tell me, give porridge, give him back right. We don't use Agbari for God. A brother told me one time, said, God led him to go out of Nigeria. First thing I said, God led you or hunger led you. There is nothing wrong in saying, Sapa wants to finish me, I want to leave this place. There's nothing wrong in saying that. I will understand. I see it all over you. He said, God led me. I told him, you know me, right? So let's do something. Let me show you that God did not lead you. So he applied for the US, they rejected him. He applied to the UK, they rejected him. South Africa, rejected him. He said, if you apply to L right now, they will reject you. I said, I'm just showing you that it's not God. He said, Pastor, release me. I told him, I said, if you apply to hellfire right now, they will reject you. Anywhere. I just want to show you that it's not God. Tell me very well. Even Panisa. Something else is leading you. So I told him, I said, what will you do with your disciples? Because he started the work. He started the work at Ogun State. And the work was growing. But I think they were about 30 already. And he left it. He wanted to leave it. He left it eventually. So what will you do? He said, no, there's a way that I will just start another branch. Something else is leading me. So I saw him for a few days. I was telling you about it, Abby. I was so sad. So I saw him on Instagram. I was unfollowing everybody. He just came to my mind. I just went to search. Just saw bottle. Merry Christmas. G with some guys, blue light, and all. I know blue light is not outreach. Some things are clear. I don't need details. Wine, blue lights, even the sneakers he wore. I know already in the ministry. There are some sneakers he wear, just and the way he dressed, chain. Some was not on with all of those things. Chains, like he's not breaking chains, just chains, bottles. This is someone's pastor. But thank Jesus, the church is growing. Hallelujah. That church is growing day to day. I'm not the one holding you. My own experiment is over. I was just showing you that God did not lead you anywhere. Because God's plan and his purpose agree. God's word and God's spirit, they don't change. If you want to know that the spirit of God is the one talking to you, it will be in the word of God. So look out for the word. Watch out for the word. What does God what say about this thing? For example, you claim to be led by the Spirit. You can. There are some things you can't do. Like, it's just in the word of God that you shouldn't do this. Regardless of how it comes, regardless of however it happened, you should not. You understand what I mean? You don't understand. You should understand. The word of God is clear on this. For example, the word of God is clear that you will not lie. And you will not cheat another person. So an opportunity comes at work where you just need to add 2 zeros. And I say, God is the God of opportunities. Kairos. That's the word. Kairos. That he brings opportunity. That the Bible says you'll be street smart. So you now add a zero. Say you are led by the Spirit of God who you can you. Now you didn't even know what you are doing. Now the Bible was just moving by itself. After you added 2 zeros, remember you wrote it in words. It was the virus thing moving by itself. You are a thief. You are not led on the spirit to add zeros. You are led by the flesh. Because the word of God and the spirit of God agree. In the leading of God's voice, or in the hearing of God's voice, the word of God and the spirit of God are one. So that spouse, if you ask, because the essence of spouse, number one, is that you first have someone who is in the faith like you. That's the first thing. To encourage one another. To spur one another in the faith. Amen? to follow God together, to obey God together. So whatever goes out of that, oh, this person is actually my spec. I don't know, we just get each other. There's a way she gets me. You know, that's what people use these days now. The way she gets me, I get him. Fine. Get one another. But hope, as you are getting one another, you are getting the word. Amen. The first essence of the spouse, that's it. Two will work together. Two is better than one. One will chase 1,000, and two will chase 10. So, every time I'm thinking about marriage, I'm thinking strength. I'm thinking longevity in ministry. Now, if you don't want to marry, Paul says, of course, you can stay single. There's nothing wrong with that. If God is leading you that way, please follow. Amen. Amen. I say, Pastor, after you have married, now, I should follow single paths. Marry, drink Gary all my life. Learn to cook. Your wife is not a cook. Amen. Except she likes to cook. I don't like to cook. You cannot force me to do that one. I saw a video on Instagram. The husband was an example of every man. He was mopping the ground. As he was mopping the ground, he was washing plates. Which every man? He was helping the wife. The wife wanted to go to the bedroom. Followed her. He was saying, my own thought that you set up camera for all of this. Because there's no way you're washing plates and cleaning the table. And there's camera around you every time. Also, different angles. I'm not stupid. I've been in the media for how many years. Different angles. You clean from this angle. He showed you from this angle again. Oga, you want engagement. I will not like your face. You are not tagging their husband. You stupid. The man that has his finish. He said, babe. Wait like that. The purpose of marriage, primarily, is for God's plan. So, whatever you think the leading is, it must lead you by the word. We have a teaching some years ago, the word and the spirit is still, go and listen to it. Still recommended. One of our best, the word and the spirit. I think it's five tracks. For me to still remember after 6 years. Though for 5 weeks, the word and the spirit. Then we agree. So the next time that voice comes, number one, because it's so near, I must not say it's not God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because it's so familiar, I must not say, don't forget, Samuel heard Eli. Don't forget, Samson heard his father. Samuel said, I love that woman. The father said, no, is there not one person from our kindred that you can get married to? Why must you go to the Philistines? Who was talking? That's God. Right? That's God in a familiar voice talking to Samson. But Samson said, no, I love her, so I will go for her. Eventually, we know how we ended. Amen? Delilah things. Sometimes when we don't follow God's leading, we pay for it. Sometimes we pay for it. Pay for him as a close. Pay for it. Sometimes dearly. Look at Jacob and his children. What brought them to Egypt? Hunger. Right? They were hungry. And God said, you know what? Go to Egypt for food. I have made provision. Joseph had gone ahead of you. He's going to get grains. Now, what do they ought to do? Take the grains, take the food, and get out of Egypt. In fact, God already told Abraham, don't go back to Egypt. God told Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. This is Jacob. This is not the first time. You know it. But what ought to be a visit? What ought to be a temporary stay? They got Goshen. Sometimes Goshen is not a good thing. Goshen is the result of disobedience. Primarily. I know there are people pray about it. But where I eat, I should be in Goshen. That's cute. But Goshen, it was never God's plan in the beginning. Goshen was discovered in their disobedience. You were meant to take the food and leave. But when you don't want to obey the Spirit of God, sometimes you pay for it. In this case, not only Jacob. His children paid for it for 400 years. 400 years. A visit of 4 days. They spent 400 years toiling, serving, slaving. Because what ought to be a visit became a stay. You must ask God Is this a visit or a stay? This friendship, is it a visit or a stay? Sometimes this neighborhood, so there's nothing too little to hear God's voice over. There's nothing too little. Don't forget, we said He speaks in His tabernacle, right? God's word walking in the garden. God's word walking in the garden. The word of God walking in the garden. He's walking and He's talking. He's walking and He's talking. So I can hear God every day. I have access. I have access on in that access to the voice of God. On in that access to His direction. On in that access. I'm not stupid. I don't make stupid decisions. I don't make mistakes. God's voice leads me. He goes before me, telling me where to go, telling me where to turn, telling me what to do, and how to do it, and when to do it. So I've got access. I've got access. I've got access to divine direction. I've got access. I am not stupid. So we said, firstly, you must realize that the believer has the Spirit of God dwelling in him. So because the Spirit of God dwells in him, he can hear God. Because the Spirit of God dwells in him, he can hear God. And number two, we said, how do I know that this is God talking? He said, he speaks in what? Familiar? Anyhow, you can hear. All the adjectives. Relative? Relational, rather. Conversatory? Interactive, thank you. Near voices. Voices that you can make conversations in. How did God speak to Peter? In Matthew 17, when he went with Jesus, in the Mount of Transfiguration, they heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They didn't hear another thing. When Peter was going to reiterate it in 2 Peter 1, he said, "No, we heard that voice on the Holy Mount. We heard it." He can still remember. He can still remember. He was so personal. He was so close that we heard it. We heard it. We are not making these things up. We heard it. God spoke in a way they will understand. In an everyday voice. So sometimes when you hear voices that are close, than yet, the voice of a friend. The voice of a friend. I remember some years ago, I wanted to write a book. Thank you, Jesus, for friends. I wanted to write a book. I was not even pastor of Pure Sans Fruit. I wanted to write a book. It was on spiritual growth. So I wrote a book on spiritual growth. And I was already writing it. I was typing and everything. I was working on it very well. And my friend said, "Hey, sometimes it's just good to wait." I said, "I've gone through the book. Blessed me." He said, "But maybe we should ask for the time." He said, "Because..." Then he went to Mordecai and Esther, and he said, Mordecai told Esther something that is important. He said, "Perhaps it was for a time like this that God asks times for things." That was all he said. But then he just said, "But emoji, I trust you. I trust God's Spirit in you. Go on, son." Ah! As he was talking, I could hear God. "Go on, son, waiting." Because sometimes you must maintain a sane estimate of yourself. People will overrate you. They will hype you. They will inflate you. But you must know when God is talking. As he said, "I'm going to hold on. I can't even find the book now." That's how much I neglected it. Because I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to rewrite this in the next 15 years. I'm talking about 2009. This is what now? How many years now? It's been the 15th year. I have a book coming out. Hallelujah. I'm going to write in the 15th year. 15 years, I told my friends, 15! 15! You even have like 5 children by the time you come. The way you talk about children, then. When I get 20, once I finish school, I finish by 21. Jump is bigger than that. Ask me is bigger, and I say, "What is this one saying? I don't understand." You finish by 21, you are home. You do a house job, your house partnership by 22,
NYSC by 23. Just married 24. Is that how you just married? Married 24, by 26, two children, 27, max, you are done. 27, you never start.
What is that?
You don't lead yourself finish. Let Nigeria not lead. Tell her the changes. Why? As he was talking. And that's why I said, sometimes, that's why you should surround yourself with people who, even when you are down, they can help. I think I said this some time ago. That's why I surround myself with people who are spiritually sensitive. Because sometimes you can't trust yourself. You don't want to surround yourself with people who, every time, they are already in the world. Now you need to keep everybody of your friends away from the world. You are the one preserving their souls from the world. So I may just say, it's a lot of fun. You say, have you been saying that? I will tell you before. That church that everything is prayer, 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 study, study, study. There's a church I know. They also teach the world. It is the world. They teach the world. Oh, they're the bad one, eh? Oh, the bad one, come. They come and show glory to your name. But if you tell your friends, you say, his prayers are too much. His hours of prayers are too much. You need a friend, I'll say, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You need friends like that. When I was going to write a book, I wanted to become the next Egan. My friend told me, say, maybe it's enough for a time like this. Why not just wait a bit? Then, at the end, God has spoken to me, and then he just said, but I trust you, man of God. I pick A, I leave B. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, if you don't follow the leading of the Spirit, you pay for it. In ways you never thought about. In ways you never thought about. For the children of Israel, go to Egypt, pick food and go. No, they stayed. And you know, sometimes in that disobedience, it looks like you made the perfect decision. The Pharaoh gave them land. Give them Goshen. He said, thank God we did not leave. That pastor was telling me to leave it, to leave Egypt. To leave Egypt. Imagine if I had left. Give me Goshen. Now I am a landowner in a foreign country. Goshen. They had cows. They had water. They had milk. They had honey. Say, this is must be the will of God. Master and terrible over here. The devil is smiling at you. Because Goshen will only last for 40 years. You pay for 400. Watch out. Watch out for temporary pleasures. Watch out. The things that appear to have benefits in the temporary. Ask God, is this temporary or permanent? Ask God, is this for months or for years or for decades or for days? Let Him lead you in time. Let Him feed you in time. Sometimes the details are not there, but we can ask. Sometimes the details are not there, but we can ask. Sometimes the details are not there, but we can ask. For David asked the Lord, should I pursue? God said, pursue. He said, will I meet them? Say, you meet them. Will I overtake? Say, you overtake. Will I recover the things that lost? God said, you recover. We can ask for details. We can ask for details. We can know things supernaturally. By the Holy Ghost, we are His children. We are His temple. God speaks in His temple. He is called the Word of God. He doesn't keep quiet. He's called the Word of God. He talks to you, of course. He talks to you in the morning. He talks to you early in the morning before you go to work. He talks to you. He speaks to you. He speaks to you. He speaks to you. Your life is not empty. It's not void of God's voice. It's not void of God's voice. You know, you have absolute direction. You have absolute direction. You are not empty. You have absolute direction. You know where to go. And you know what to do. You know, your life is overwhelmed by the leading of God's Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're a child of God. So his voice is clear to you. The voice of the stranger you will not follow. The voice of the stranger you will not follow. You will not make mistakes in your life. Mistakes are far from you. Mistakes are far from you. Mistakes are far from you. They are far from you. You will make good decisions. You will take good decisions. So we can ask for details. Amen. And we can also ask for strength. Strength, because in following the leading of God's Spirit, you probably need to be strong in faith. You need to be strong in faith. God told Abraham, say, you're going to leave your father's land where you're comfortable, where things appear to be fine. You're going to go to a place I will show you. Bible says Abraham fought strong in faith. By faith, Abraham left the land for an unknown place. By faith, Moses endured a sinning that is invisible. By faith, he chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a moment. By faith. So sometimes you will need to pray for strength, to be strong in faith. I believe even as we listen to God's voice of God this year, we pray for strength, to be strong in faith. To be strong in faith. It will take faith, absolute faith, for Jacob to leave Egypt that day. It will take faith, because he was coming from where there was famine, where there was hunger, where death was staring at them. Now he's seeing plenty, he's seeing food. Why not stay? It will take faith. It has taken faith for him to carry his bag as I'm going back. And so we need faith. We need faith. We need faith. And our lives will be void of regrets. Those are things you're going to pray about tonight. Our life, we will not live our lives with regrets. When Pharaoh asked Joseph, Jacob, how old are you? When Jacob told him, he said, this is the way you're looking. Jacob said, my years are long and they are full of regrets. They are long and they are full of regrets. I'm not praying against that. Decisions that make life full of regrets. Because God is not going to cause any man to walk with him. He's not going to force anyone. But there are actions and consequences. Actions and consequences of the actions. He leads you. Listen for it. Never be scared. Be strong in faith. He leads you. Listen for it. Sometimes the decisions are tough. They're tough. Sometimes, like I said, it takes being strong in faith. But he's leading you. In quiet pastures is leading you. When the mountain is high before you, is leading you. When the valleys are too deep, is leading you. When the waters are deep, is leading you. You will not be overwhelmed. You will not be subdued. You will not be overwhelmed. Your hands are strengthened by Jehovah. Your head is lifted. Your heart is strong. Pray for yourself tonight. He leads me, Jesus. By his word and by his spirit. In everyday voices, you are leading me. Thank you. with regret.
When he says go, I go. When he says stop, I stop. Amen. I remember 2017, I was teaching the Linear Spirit in this church, that was 7 years ago, and I told you a story of a man, I don't remember, who was eaten. Some of you must have heard it in the tape. He was eaten at night and was on singlet and just breathed. And God told him, stand up. And he stood up. And God told him, run. And sometimes you say, am I running mad? Because he tried to run. So he said, running. And God told him, stop. Start walking. He said, walking. And God said, run again. I said, run. He said, stop. Now walk. I said, walk. Run. And he got to the bush. And God said, enter the bush. 10 p.m. I said, bush. You know, at that point, you start doubting your sanity yourself. Everybody needs, it doesn't even take people to doubt. So I said, am I entering madness? Say, enter the bush. So you enter the bush. So keep walking. You kept walking. He was a stop. Under a tree, and he stopped. He was a start preaching. 10 p.m. with singlet and briefs. Preach about what is that? To whom? Do plants get saved? So he started preaching. Regardless, just started preaching. And he felt a drop of water on his head. So he looked up. And he saw a man who was about to commit suicide. Real story. And the man said, as you're preaching, I just felt that I should stop. I saw you when you came in. And he stopped. He got saved. So he got home, of course, elated, full of joy. And he said, God, that was amazing. But why did you ask me to run and walk and run? And what was all the drama for? And God said, if you run too much, you will get there before him. And he will turn back when he sees you. If you walk too much, you will be too slow. You would have died. So you need to run and walk and run and walk and run and walk. And that's how precise the Holy Ghost can lead you. And no longer in your Christian walk will you be passive. No, we've got a lot of believers who are too passive. You can't even remember the last time God led you. You can't remember the last time you had absolute direction about something. I remember at work, someone came in, and I have a leading concern, the man. So he came in and said one of our doctors to go and see a patient. Were you there when the woman came in? Jagemo. Is it Jagemo or Jacob or something? And I think I told you when I got home. I told you immediately I got home, I said to my wife. I said, so. I said, what's the name of the man? He mentioned the name of the man. I said, he's a pastor. And she said, how did you know? I know because God has sent me to him. And she was looking at me like this. How did you know he's a pastor? I'll tell you, just give me your number. And why I said, man, I wanted to write pastor. I said, no, write pastor. My name is Yemi. But that's how much God can lead you per time. Per time. The details are not far. He's close to you. We must get, we will get it out tonight. Eh? That mentality that somewhere it's once in a while. It's not once in a while. While you're standing there, he's talking. While you're just standing there. And so we are going to live our lives in absolute direction. In the will of God. You ready, brother? Now pray for yourself. Led by the Spirit every day.